The first move in Barris's scheme was to get a plastic bag from the roll by the sink and squirt the contents of the spray can into it, on and on until the can, or at least the gas, was exhausted.
"This is unreal," Charles Frick said. "Super unreal."
"What they have deliberately done," Barris said cheerfully as he labored, "is mix the cocaine with oil so that it can't be extracted. But my knowledge of chemistry is such that I know precisely how to separate the coke from the oil." He had begun vigorously shaking salt into the gummy slime in the bag. Now he poured it all into a glass jar. "I'm freezing it," he announced, grinning, "which causes the cocaine crystals to rise to the top since they are lighter than air. Than the oil, I mean. And then the terminal step, of course, I keep to myself, but it involves an intricate methodological process of filtering." He opened the freezer above the refrigerator and carefully placed the jar inside.
"How long will it be in there?" Charles Freck asked.
"Half an hour." Barris got out one of his hand-rolled cigarettes, lit it, then strolled over to the heap of electronic testing equipment. He stood there meditating, rubbing his bearded chin.
"Yeah," Charles Freck said, "but, I mean, so even if you get a whole gram of pure coke out of this, I can't use it on Donna to, you know, get in her pants in exchange. It's like buying her. That's what it amounts to."
"Exchange," Barris corrected. "You give her a gift, she gives you one. The most precious gift a woman has."
"She'd know she was being bought."
He'd seen enough of Donna to flash on that. Donna would make out the shuck right off. "Cocaine is an aphrodisiac," Barris muttered half to himself. He was setting up the testing equipment beside Bob Arctor's cephalochromoscope, which was Bob's most expensive possession. "After she's snorted a good part of it, she'll be happy to uncork herself."
"Shit, man," Charles Freck protested. "You're talking about Bob Arctor's girl. He's my friend, and the guy that you and Luckman live with."
Barris momentarily raised his shaggy head. He scrutinized Charles Freck for a time. "There's a great deal about Bob Arctor you're not aware of," he said, "that none of us are. Your view is simplistic and naive, and you believe about him what he wants you to."
"Oh, he's an all right guy."
"Certainly," Barris said, nodding and grinning. "Beyond a doubt, one of the world's best. But I have come. We have come, those of us who have observed Arctor acutely and perceptively, to distinguish in him certain contradictions, both in terms of personality structure and in behavior, in his total relatedness to life, in, so to speak, his innate style."
"Do you have anything specific?"
Barris's eyes behind his green shades danced.
"Your eyes dance and don't mean nothing to me," Charles Freck said. "What's wrong with the cephscope that you're working on it?"
He moved in closer to look for himself.